Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. Thank you for joining us today. We do these shows to encourage you and to teach you and to just try to help you get to a place of true wellness where you won't need a doctor. That is our goal. We believe God designed you perfectly. If you learn how to steward the body and through lots of lack of knowledge, deception, the truth being suppressed in unrighteousness, lots of different reasons. We just have not been told the truth, especially the past 100 years in American medical. Well, it's not just medical, it's all the different areas and institutions in our world. But I'm not going to go off on that tangent today because we are back with Madon Wingo. If you were with us 2 weeks ago, Madon was giving her testimony, an amazing journey from childhood all the way through to now at 39 years old. But we left it last time, Madon. You were driving back from Arkansas from a funeral and went into basically anaphylactic reaction and took a bunch of antihistamine and got over that, got home, and then it hit again. And many, many, many episodes in and out of the hospital, even to the point of scaring an ER doctor at one point because you weren't responding to the medication. So life-threatening situation. And then you discovered a couple friends called you, said, check out this disease, a mammalian protein allergy that you get after a tick bite. And it's a delayed reaction when you consume mammal protein. As you're digesting that, the body reacts in this anaphylactic histamine release. So that's where we left it last time, Madon. So kind of just pick up from there. You'd just been diagnosed. Your doctor down there run the test, and you were very positive. So take it from there.
Yeah, so this, the thing is that we kept talking and to everybody and trying to figure out a diagnosis. So I finally had a diagnosis. So that brought so much hope, right? And we thought, we have a diagnosis. Yes. Okay. So now we know what I need to avoid. Now we know what's causing this. Then things are going to get better. The problem is they didn't. They didn't get better. And that was extremely distressing because we thought we figured this out. I still wanted to, you know, keep in mind the mold stuff too. So I was doing some natural things to try to work on clearing mold from my system.
Hey, Madon, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to remind the listeners prior to this diagnosis, you were still eating clean, homemade from scratch, you know, doing all your natural clean living, correct?
Most of the time. Yes.
Yeah. So you weren't by any means a standard American. So just wanted to make that point too, but go right ahead.
Yeah. And actually to that point, like a lot of my friends in the area, like I was the natural go-to person, right? They were the ones that would call me up. Hey, what should I use for this? Or what should I use for that? You know, what herb would work for this? And, you know, or can you make me some elderberry syrup for my kids? You know, that's the mindset I still tried to keep, you know, a hold of. And, so I had been living this way, and then I've become allergic to all this stuff, and so then I'm like, okay, so I just have to avoid mammal and I'll be better. And then I'm not better. In fact, I still have these very severe reactions. Now they're not quite as bad as the anaphylaxis, but they were still very severe. I remember once, like after eating, just drinking some organic chicken broth that I had made myself, right? And I had drank some of it. And I remember my husband being so shocked because I kept saying I felt so bad. My stomach swelled up like I was 7 months pregnant. And I remember he took a picture for me because I was just like, what in the world is happening, right? I get bloated up so bad. I looked like I was in my third trimester of pregnancy. And I was not pregnant at all. And I still, and I'm like, why? And so then I'm researching, okay, maybe somehow this chicken touched beef at some point in time and that's causing the reaction, right? And so we went down this rabbit hole of trying to figure out why am I still having these severe symptoms? And I remember even once, like I, you know how moms do, and they'll clean their kids' faces off, lick their thumb and clean off their kid's face. It's a mom instinct. I don't know why we do that, but we do. I remember once I went and did that for my son, and apparently he had had some milk or yogurt And when I went to lick my thumb again, I ended up almost passing out and was on the floor. And I was like, what in the world is happening? You know, we had tile floor and I remember just laying on the floor. And my husband walked in. And he's like, what are we doing? And I'm like, I'm just going to stay here for a little while because I felt so awful. And it was so bad that we decided to go to an environmental health center in Dallas. There was a location there where you could go and they would help you to try to put you on a rotation diet and try to make shots for you in order that you could eat some food. So that's what I did. I went and left my family and stayed in Dallas for 3 weeks and spent the whole time, like their goal was to put you, find some foods that your body could tolerate if you took shots. And if you took those shots every day, you could eat that food and then help your body to heal. That was their goal. And it took 3 weeks for us just to find 10 foods that my body would tolerate with shots. So it was rough. Wow. Let me put it that way. It was really rough. And so I thought, if I do this for so long, then it'll work on the healing process. And it worked for a little bit. And then it didn't work at all either. And I got so bad where I literally could only eat potato chips. And I couldn't understand why it was potato chips, because that went against everything that I knew was healthy, right? That potato chips, what in the world? And I talked to a dietitian there at the center, and he told me, he said, because your body doesn't know their food. They're so highly processed that your body doesn't recognize them as food, and your body has decided that all food is the enemy. Mm. And that's where I was. And I spent months of just being able to eat potato chips and so hungry. I remember just thinking about it right now, like the hunger that I felt all the time. And I remember a sweet friend, she wasn't meaning to, but she came to me once and she gave me a hug and she's like, you're so skinny, you need to eat. And I just looked at her and just started crying so hard because I was like, if I don't eat, I feel better. But if I eat, I feel awful, or I end up in the ER and I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. So I was very lost and very, like, I kept thinking, you know, the diagnosis, we've got answers. Yay, it's going to get better. And then it didn't get better. And then the environmental health center, yay, we're going to take shots and it's going to get better. And then it didn't get better. And then I was trying to figure out what to do. And I decided, my husband and I decided, hey, we know from all our studies and this different support groups I was in, we knew a doctor, Dr. Cummins in North Carolina at UNC. He had helped discover alpha-gal. It actually hasn't been discovered more than 20 years, I don't think. Now, actually, it's less than that. I think it was in 08 when they discovered it, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. So we decided, I'm just going to fly to see him and see what he can do to help me, because he knows all about it. My doctor is just trying. I mean, I can't fault her at all. She's trying and doing, you know, everything she can for me on the knowledge she has, and trying to gain knowledge, you know, on the subject and figure out more about alpha-gal. That I'm like, let's fly to him. So I flew out to see him, and he was a wonderful doctor, very kind, very loving, very, very sat down with me for hours, is what he sat down to talk with me, right? To hear everything. But again, in that medical model, he put me on 8 different meds. He diagnosed me with a handful of issues that stemmed from alpha-gal, but caused all these different things like mast cell activation disorder and POTS and just all these plethora of things. So I left there feeling at least heard, but on so many different meds and with so many different diagnoses that I still was so distraught and didn't know, like, I thought, surely this isn't the life, taking all these meds all the time, but surely this was better than taking shots all the time so that I could try to eat. So I tried that. I tried to take all the meds and I tried to listen to all the things that he had told me to do, and it was not working. It was better, but it still wasn't working. And I ended up on my bedroom floor and screaming and yelling at the Lord, because I was done. I was so done with all this. I felt like I had abandoned my kids because I hadn't been able to take care of them fully. At this point in time, it'd probably been about 8 months. I was just in a state of what's going to happen to me. I had lost, I think I was around 105 pounds. I was withering away. And I was not getting better. And each doctor and each thing that we had had gave me some hope, but it never panned out to really, you know, be healing or go from there. So I remember I was on the floor and I was screaming and yelling at the Lord, something I had never done before in my life. And I was just, I joke now and tell my husband, like, the Lord and I had it out. Like, it was a knockdown drag out. Like, I let him have it, you know. I just, you know, poured my heart out to him of how distraught I was and how frustrated I was and how I was withering away and asking it, like, am I going to die here soon? What's happening? What's going on? And I remember, you know, just trying like to figure it out and screaming and yelling at him. And he told me to be who I created you to be. And I know your listeners will be familiar with that. That's something that you say often, Dr. Ben. and I had not listened to it at that point in time. And I didn't know. I'd never heard that phrase like that before. And the Lord audibly told me, be who I created you to be. And I remember that I shot back at him. And I was like, how is that possible? Because I can't even take care of my children by myself. I can't hardly, like, I have no energy. I have no strength. I can't eat. I can't do all these things that I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. How in the world am I supposed to be who you created me to be? And he told me, I'm healing you. And I was just like, oh, okay. That's what I needed to hear. So I thought, this is great. I'm doing, he's healing me. This is good. This reminded me, I needed to say something that sorry, listeners, that I have to kind of go back for a second. But I had ended up on my knees because this stranger turned around and told me I was in such a state of, distress. My body was in such a state of distress that we had got to where I was kind of holed up in our home. We had, a poster on our front door and a little box that said that you were not allowed to walk into this home if you had been around any type of mammal or eaten any type of mammal, because I had gotten so severe that even being near where somebody had cooked steak, I would have a severe reaction. Even, you know, shaking hands with somebody who had just touched some type of mammal or whatever would cause me to have a severe reaction. So I had been holed up in my house for quite some time, and we had had a piano tuner come to our house, and he had had some cologne on him, and I was causing me to have issues while he was there. And I had told him, just please hurry as fast as you can to tune the piano. I need you to leave because I'm having an allergic reaction to whatever is scent is on you, and I'm struggling. And I remember after he tuned the piano, he turned around and he looked at me and he said, I know you don't know me. And, you know, you don't have to listen to anything I say. But I can tell you right now that the Lord does not want you to be this way. And I remember looking at him and thinking, what do you mean? And he said, the Lord, you know, doesn't want you to be sick like this. You know, you can have healing. Like, the Lord wants you to be well. And I remember looking at him like, what do you mean? Like, I know, like, that makes sense to me, but I'm here. I'm sick. And I am, you know, in this really bad state. And he just looked at me and he said, well, I've read this book. And I think you've talked about it before, Dr. Ben, by Dr. Henry Wright, called A More Excellent Way. And he said, in that book, he notes and points out that a lot of times, especially like food allergy stuff, points to unforgiveness, and that you have a spiritual issue going on with unforgiveness and that you might need to look at. And what I heard, again, we'll go back to that, you know, trauma mindset and the mindset I had from growing up. What I heard then, again, was this is my fault. So again, I'm causing this. But he spoke, I could tell the way he spoke was enough truth that I thought, I'm going to order that book and I'm going to read it and I'm going to see if there's validity to what he's saying. And I did. I ordered the book and I started reading. Of course, I jumped straight to the allergy section, you know, and start reading through that. And I'm like, oh, I see some points he's making. I see some stuff. And so then I was really like, okay, is there some forgiveness that I need to give? And I remember the Lord pointing out some things immediately to me that I'd been harboring some unforgiveness and even some towards my husband on some issues. And I just went to him and, you know, asked forgiveness right away and went and worked through some things. And I thought, okay, now I should get better, right? So then that brings me to on my knees yelling at the Lord. And then he told me, I'm healing you. And I told my family, I just came out and asked my husband, did you hear all that? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, how did you not hear me screaming and yelling? And he said, I didn't hear you. I don't know what you're talking about. And I just told him what the Lord said. And he said, okay. So we sat down to dinner and I said, I'm going to eat this food. And my kids flipped out. My kids were like, mom, you're going to be in the hospital later tonight. You know, like they were really worried. And I just told them, I said, I can't continue doing this. I have to eat this food. I remember my husband told them, like, guys, if mom doesn't finally eat, she's going to wither away. We're going to lose her. So the Lord said he's healing her. She believes him. I believe him. She's eating dinner. And I did. I ate dinner and I didn't have a reaction. And I was like, whoa, yes. This is awesome. Now, again, it wasn't mammal. It was a chicken curry, had absolutely no mammal products whatsoever in it. And I was able to eat and I didn't swell up. My stomach didn't swell. I didn't end up in the ER. Like nothing happened. And I thought, okay, I'm not taking the meds anymore. I'm going to keep trying to work on this forgiveness piece and see if there's anything else the Lord can show me. But I'm going to start eating. And I'm just going to deal with alpha gal, like just not eating anything that comes from mammal. And we learned that, like, I couldn't even have anything that, like, glycerin, gelatin. I don't know if people know that those are usually pork derived or beef derived. So even when you talk about like pharmaceutical stuff, if it's liquid or gel capsules, that gelatin is pork or beef, unless it says vegetable. So we learned that I couldn't have a drop of mammal. If I had a little bit of mammal in something, I would immediately have a reaction, or I guess actually it wasn't always immediate. Sometimes it would be immediate. Other times it would be later that night, up to 12 hours later. And as long as I really watched what I ate and was very careful with my food, I could eat. And I did, and I gained weight and I started getting healthier. And I did well, as long as we just watched really careful. Like I couldn't hardly ever eat out because I couldn't trust that they would not have any mammal touch my food. And, you know, so no dairy, cheese, you know, anything like that could not accidentally get into my food. So I got to a state of, hey, this is better. This is way better than where I was. And I'm doing better. In fact, I got pregnant. So thankful that I got pregnant with our sixth and was doing all the things. Like even I remember I went to see a doctor and my midwife and they both were like, you have to be like some of our healthiest clients because of how strict your diet. Like you just eat, you know, chicken and fish and vegetables. So, you know, that's a healthy diet, right? I may not be able to get the good fats in that you would like, but I could eat coconut oil and olive oil. So that's on the outside, you would look at that and think that, you know, that's a very healthy diet. You know, I'm eating nice meat and veggies and some healthy fats, although it's not the, you know, the beef fat or anything like that. So, during that pregnancy, I had dealt with some pain, and I started having some physical stuff happen again. And I started having a lot of trouble with my pelvis, and I didn't know exactly why and what was happening, but we did stretches, I did chiropractic, I did, you know, everything that I could think of to help it. I wore a belt, I wore an SI belt, a support belt, and trying to help. But I kept having, in that third trimester, like my SI joint and my tailbone were just having so much trouble. And so I thought, you know, I'm finally in this healthier mindset, or a healthy state, I should say, of being able to eat decent. As long as I stay away from mammal stuff, I can eat well, and I'm healthy, and I'm growing this beautiful baby. But then I start having all this pain, and immediately, and now looking back, of course, I can see it differently. But at the time, I didn't realize. I immediately started blaming myself for the pain. Because again, we go back to that mindset from before. And I remember that I would be like, oh, well, this is your fault because you wanted to have another baby. Or this is your fault because you're so much older now, pregnant, which I was not that much older. I was only, I think, 36. So anyway, so I struggled, but I struggled in silence. I didn't, now I know it was a what we would call like a trauma response, but I did not talk to anybody about it. I just suffered and tried to make it through. And when I had my son, because my pelvis was already in such a state of no fault of anybody else, besides I kept blaming myself, it was my fault, but his birth was pretty traumatic on my body. And I ended up ripping my pubic symphysis, breaking my tailbone again, and my SI joints were having so much trouble. And I also ended up having a prolapse and some type of inner muscle tear somewhere near the pelvic floor, between the pelvic floor and the left leg. And I didn't tell anybody, including my husband and my midwife. And the doctor that I had went to go see too. And I know now, because I blamed myself. I thought of all the many reasons why all this was my fault, so I deserved to suffer. Wow. And that was really hard. So I was on pain medicine, and I had had pain medicine from before, and so I had been taking that a bunch. And it wasn't until 5 months postpartum that I decided to see somebody. I think around 4 months postpartum, I finally broke down and told my mom and talked to my husband. And they're like, well, let's fix it. Let's see what's going on. And finally went and got some scans. So we found out what actually was the problem, what was actually going on. And I really should have been in a wheelchair. But I had decided that this was my fault and I deserved the pain, and I had to just fight through it. And I got into a pelvic floor specialist. That first appointment, I couldn't hardly walk afterwards. And what she said in the first place, I should have at least had a walker because of how bad everything was. I did 14 months of pelvic floor physical therapy with her. And throughout the conversations with her, she was a wonderful, she is a wonderful a Christ follower. We had a lot of really good conversations, and some things came up in the conversation that really kept bringing up memories for me of my childhood and memories of all these things that had happened to me. And that's when I realized that I didn't have a bicycle accident, that I had skewed. The bicycle accident was actually the horrific sexual assault that I had had. And that explained why some of my pelvis had these actual injuries that had been there for a long time. And it was just by God's grace that I had all the children that I had. And I started looking at the birth work and trying, I wanted to be a midwife for a really long time. And this really had helped me see, like, the Lord had, I felt like I had all these experiences and all these different things that I could bring to the table as a provider, as a midwife myself, to help other moms, and some things that I could see and the trauma response that I had saw that I had had. And I started midwifery school. We're about, this is spring of 2020. So I think most everybody remembers the spring of 2020. I had decided then was my time to go to midwifery school, and I was doing this pelvic floor therapy too. And my son was born in 2019, and I was working on healing my pelvis. And I realized during that time that I needed to see a counselor, that I had all these memories were coming back for me from my horrific sexual assault that I had had, and some other experiences growing up in the commune, that I needed to talk to somebody. And I went and started seeing a therapist. And while I started doing birth work, and in the birth work, I start seeing women. I'm sure you've said this to me and at another point in time, Dr. Ben, and it meant a lot, that the Lord will bring people into your life that you need to speak into. And I started seeing these women who had had these trauma experiences or sexual assault experiences or something like that in their life that was coming out in their birth. And it was triggering these memories for me. And I was realizing that this was something I needed to work through. And I started seeing the Christian counselor, and the Christian counselor starts, we do EMDR, and EMDR can be good. Let me just preface, it can be helpful for some people. And it did help me for a moment because it helped me piece together some memories. But then it started giving me horrible memories that I didn't want. And I was struggling tremendously. And I stopped doing therapy and instead was thinking, okay, I'll work on this trauma. Work on how the body responds to trauma, and working with their scripture and looking at different things that could help with it. And in this meantime, I'm still dealing with Alpha Gal. Like, everybody knows that Madame's allergic to everything and she can only have certain things, and all this, it's a combination of these things happening. And I even started a podcast about trauma. And so I start talking to these different women and learning, and the trauma, like, we're wanting to talk about healing through trauma. And so I realized, you know, the Lord can bring healing to so many women after their trauma experiences. And I want to share, yes, we've been through some horrible things, but God is so good, and there is healing on the other side. And I started this podcast, Healing Trauma Mamas, and that helped a lot to start to work through mentally why I was responding to certain things, why I kept saying things are my fault. But at the same time, I'm talking to these women and working through these issues. I start having some allergic responses again. And usually I could keep them at bay if I didn't eat and touch any mammal stuff. And I start really delving into scripture. And I was looking at my husband and I said, you know, I am trying so hard to be who God created me to be, but I'm tired of still being in this state of not restriction, right? Of restriction in all my ability of what I can eat and my healthy mindset. I said, it makes no sense to me that I could go eat this highly processed meal and be fine, but I couldn't have a steak. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. Yeah, it makes no sense to me like that. The body's not supposed to work in that way. And I had several allergic reactions. And I don't think I said it before, but what we started having to do with my allergic reactions is, besides keeping EpiPens on me at all times, because I've had to use them before numerous times, they're expensive to replace. And every time you use one, you need to go to the ER afterwards, right? So we found that, because it was a digestive reaction, that if I couldn't take by mouth, I couldn't take medicine to help with the allergic reaction. So instead, we had to do it by IM. So we had to, intramuscular, sorry. So we started where I would take diphenhydramine injection. So if I was having an allergic reaction, then I would do a shot of diphenhydramine.
Benadryl.
And then, yeah, Benadryl, sorry, yes, Benadryl. And we kept, like, shots on me at all times. Like, so in my purse, there were shots. In my car, there were shots. You know, like, so everywhere, like, we had shots that if any point in time, like, that's what I had to do. And I remember after using it for a while, that's what we had to do. I remember my husband and I doing a bunch of research and trying to be like, what side effects is this going to cause? You know, I have to do this all the time. What side effects? And in our research, we found that usually there's, besides, you know, the sleepiness and maybe groggy and, you know, don't operate heavy machinery, that type of thing. Besides that, there wasn't many short-term side effects. But the long-term side effects were early onset dementia. And I remember jokingly telling my husband that, you know, okay, I may not remember you guys later, but at least I'm alive now. So and just to make myself okay with it, like I tried to rationalize it, like, yeah, it's going to be okay. You know, I might get early onset dementia, but that'll be okay because that's years down the road, I thought.
Okay. But so, Madame, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We got to take a break real quick. Sure. And we're going to come back and finish up the last half. But so, man, what a story. Healed and then birth, all the pain that came after the sixth baby, and then the allergies started coming back. And then, guys, I promise you, this is going to end happy. But we got to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and hear the rest of the story and wrap this up. What an amazing journey you've been on, Madon. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure is the name of the show. We archive it on our website, veritasmedical.com. Go there and check that out and tell your friends to check it out. And stick with us. We will be right back. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. All right, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. You're the Cure. VeritasMedical.com is where we archive these. We're right back with Madon Wingo. She's telling her amazing story. If you didn't hear part one, you can go back on the archive page and listen. And this is part two. So, Madon, let's pick it up from there. You were starting to react to things again. Benadryl shots, you read, could cause dementia, but at least you could be alive now, even if you didn't remember anything later in life. But so, keep going.
So in the midst of all of this, I'm a student midwife. And so I'm attending births and I'm in school. And so, yes, there's some added stress, but I've been doing really well. I learned how to manage it well. But I was frustrated, and I had been, after a birth, I had had a reaction, and I didn't like that because I didn't want that to ever happen, you know, especially while I was at a birth taking care of a mama. I didn't need to be taking care of myself then, right? And so I'd had a series of times where I'd had to take some shots again. And I had gone a long time without having to take them. And I got real frustrated because throughout that whole week, I had to keep taking several shots. And I remember crying to my husband, and I was like, I don't understand. I'm like, I'm trying so hard to be who God created me to be, like he told me. Like he told me to do. And I feel like it's like an equation, like I'm be who I created you to be. And then he said, I'm healing you. And I'm like, I'm waiting. And I keep always saying when people ask about, I'm like, the Lord's healing me, the Lord's healing me, but I'm not healed yet. Like it's a process, right? And I kept saying that, you know, have I settled is what I said to my husband when I was upset. I was like, have I settled that I'm okay with this process? I'm okay with just staying away from mammal stuff now. I've been okay with just partial healing and not expectantly waiting to see the rest of it or looking forward to the rest of it. And so then I had this moment that happened that really made me realize that I could not settle for where I was, because I'd went to do an appointment with a mom, and I was, you know, with another midwife, and the mom had asked me a question about my kids, you know, which we do. Moms talk to each other about their children. And she had asked me about my children's, who they were and their names and their ages. And I was listing off my children, and I got to my son, Samuel, and I said his name was Samuel, but in my mind, I did not know if that was my son. the best way I can describe it is a dementia moment that I had. But It was very scary. And for 4 hours, I could not remember if I had a name, a son, that I could kind of see him in my mind, but I couldn't remember if he was actually my son. And I definitely could not remember if his name was Samuel. And that was very scary. And I came home, and when I finally got to see him, I knew it was him when I saw him. And I gave him a hug, of course, and I was like, this is my Samuel. And I could reconcile, but the whole time, those 4 hours, my brain could not reconcile what the truth was. It could not figure out if this was my son or not. And when my husband got home and I told him about it, and I was just so distraught, and I said, I never thought that I would have to deal with any type of dementia now. I always thought this was later, but this was coming later, and it came now, and I cannot have that. It is not worth it. I have to be able to remember my kids now and be present with them now. And so that was my moment where I was like, okay, I am not settling for this. God has better for me, and I need to figure out how to get there. So that's when we had been listening to your podcast. I'd been listening to you at The Cure for a couple of years. I had had a midwife tell me about you years before and tell me about Veritas and say, hey, you should really go see this guy. And I'm like, no, we got this figured out. I just have to take my shots and I'm good, you know. And that was my moment when I was like, nope, I am not settling for this. God has better for me. We've got to find answers. We've got to fix this. We've got to get full healing. God said he's healing me. So where's the rest of it? So that's when I think it was the next day, I got online and got on Veritas Medical and booked an appointment with a wellness navigator. The wellness navigator happened the next, I think this was a Friday, and Monday was there was an availability with Kim. And I was like, whoever's available first is who I'm taking. Happened to be Kim. And we had our 1 hour, which I had listened to all your videos before. And I'm like, yes. You know, I'm like in agreement with all those things. And I'm like, yes, I understand, you know, all those things. So let's go to the next step. And I had my appointment with Kim over the phone, and it did not last 1 hour. What a shock. I remember, I think it was almost full 2 hours that we talked about, you know, my story and what had been happening, what was going on. And she had told me, like, I know that Dr. Ben's going to want to see you and talk with you. And you know, if you'll give me a couple of days, I'll get back with you and we'll get you in. And so that's what happened. And then I came in to see you, and it was a very long appointment. No surprise. I came in with four pages of timeline. Yeah. For Dr. Ben to just tell him, you know, what to tell you, what, you know, this is my life story, leaving out a lot, but, you know, of my physical symptoms and everything that had happened. I think I left out a little bit. I'd actually at this point also had several more surgeries the year before. While I was doing birth work, I ended up with almost a torqued uterus, because I had had a very large cyst on my ovary, and I only had one ovary at that time. I'd already had one removed 3 years prior, and had to have a total hysterectomy unexpectedly. And a few months after recovering from that, I had finally sought out an orthopedic surgeon to see about my pelvis and to try to get my pelvis fixed, because I had still been dealing with all this pain at the same time. I'd done 14 months of pelvic floor therapy, and I'd still, just kept a running pain medicine prescription, you know, because I would often, if I did something, I'd have to take pain medicine, you know, later that day. And anyway, after this, I had screws put in my SI joint. I had screws on the right side and my coccyx removed, which helped somewhat. And then I was using a walker, and then I had the screws put in on the left side. And when the doctor put the screws on the left side, he also damaged a nerve, or somehow a nerve was damaged during that procedure. And I came out of the surgery in more pain than I went into the surgery. Mm. And yeah, so then that dealt with being using a walker for about 3 months, and then using a cane. And I used a cane for another 2 to 3 months, and couldn't have anybody or anything touch my leg, my left leg, from the knee down. If anything touched it, it was off. Nerve pain is like nothing else in your life. Nerve pain is a very different beast, and no pain medicine covers it. Pain medicine does not help with nerve pain, at least none that I had tried, and we tried to seek that out and didn't help. So I just was dealing with pain still from my pelvis too, from surgeries who were supposed to fix me that didn't fix me, that made me worse. So thankfully I wasn't using a cane anymore, but I still had a lot of pelvic injury as well. So when I came to Dr. Ben, and when I came to you and I told you, you know, my whole life story, and here's all the things that's been going on with me, and here's the physical symptoms, and here's, you know, started with my birth in the commune, and I remember you asking me, which is interesting because today in church service we were discussing the man who was at the pool that the Lord healed, and Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" And I remember I resonated with that so much. And I remember when I was in my appointment with you that you looked at me and you asked me, "Do you want to be healed? And do you believe that God can heal you?" And that was really important for me, because I needed to acknowledge that did I truly believe that God could heal me all the way? Was I okay with accepting this partial healing and my body still struggling so much? I thank you for saying that. And then the other thing that was such a big moment for me was I remember you sighed, Dr. Ben, and out of it, just, this is a lot of stuff, you know, this has been a lot, Madonna. And you looked at me and you said, "So God told you to be who He created you to be." I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Okay." Or you said, "Okay, who is that?" And you tripped me up because that was a really interesting question, because I thought I knew the answer to that. Because I remember I rattled off, well, a mom and a wife, and I think midwifery is part of that. So being a midwife, you know, and a daughter, and all these things. And you didn't correct me. You didn't do any of that. You just looked at me and said, "I think we have an identity problem." And I was like, I couldn't even comprehend what you meant at the time. And my mom was in that appointment with me, and we both talked about it later. It was like, "Oh, that appointment was so good." Like, there was, I loved everything he said, and I'm in agreement with it, but I don't understand it. I see what you're saying about identity and how important identity is, and understanding who we are in Christ and how that reflects outwardly and physically. And I did not understand, though, what that meant. How did I have an identity issue? And you were graciously said, "You know, you have real physical symptoms happening, Don. I know you're in real pain, you know, and you're, you know, dealing with all these physical symptoms at the same time. However, you know, I also feel that we have a major spiritual issue going on." And you asked me, you know, what direction would I like to go to work on? Did I agree that I wanted to work on the spiritual, or you would just work on the physical with me? And I knew that I needed to work on the spiritual too. That is just the things that you were saying just resonated, and I knew that was an issue. And so this identity piece was so huge for me. I know you've said that to your listeners many times before, but experiencing it was so profound for me, because when I came home and told my husband about our appointment and told him what you had asked me and what I had said, and you had given me a list of, okay, this is the order in which things I think we should do. And these are physical things I think we should do. And then this is identity. And I want you to pray about it, talk to the Holy Spirit, and you let me know which area we need to start with, which I love. I think that was awesome, because I knew you were praying about it too. And the first part was the identity piece. And then the other was some physical things, like shots, like ozone shots to help my pelvis and that sort of thing. And when I talked to my husband about it, and I immediately knew, you'd mentioned Nicole, and her name just was like big bold letters in my head. Like, I need to talk to Nicole. I need to talk to Nicole. And my whole prayer on the way home, I kept that kept flashing in my head. And I'm like, okay, that's the identity piece. And when I talked to my husband and I told him that my answer to you about the identity piece, and he just stopped and he said, Madon, do you realize that all that you just listed are relationships? And I just stared at him like, what do you mean? He said, everything you listed is a relationship. You aren't just relationships with other people. And I'd never realized that my identity was so wrapped up into my relationships with other people. And that was a moment. And then I started seeing Nicole, I'm sorry, her name skips me at the moment. Nicole and Angie, and had some amazing but rough appointments with them. I will say, because it's hard. It's hard when you have to look so deeply at yourself and look into what do I truly believe? Who do I really see myself as? And does this line up with scripture? And we quickly realized that I had a wrong identity that I had been living under, that I had been trapped under this false identity of everything's my fault. And I deserve this. And that fear mindset, doing things out of fear instead of out of love. And that needed to be dealt with. And it was so difficult and freeing at the same time. I mean, it was good because they were really gracious and had the really difficult conversations with me that we really had to delve in deep. And we really had to get to the root of these issues. And why did I think everything was my fault? Why? Why did I thought things were my fault that had absolutely no reason whatsoever I should have thought were my fault? I mean, things that I had no control over whatsoever. My assumption is it's my fault. And that's, I thought for a while, like, boy, that's arrogant to think that I had some, you know, say in this. But it's not arrogant. It's very faulty thinking to think that all these things were my fault. And we realized soon that a lot of that came from early on in childhood, and so much being put on me. I didn't even tell about my brother that died. I know that I was told that part of the reason that he died in a car accident was my fault. Something I did. I don't know if it was a sin that they said that I had done or whatever. I was five. I was five when he died. Like, that's awful to tell a young child that.
Yeah.
And then whenever I had the quote unquote, what they told me, lied to me about my whole life, saying it was a bicycle accident, it was actually a sexual assault. The bicycle accident that they told me, the story they told me, the heart of that story was it was my fault. Mm. So it was, once we delved into it, it was easy for us to see where that was coming from. But what wasn't easy was to stop that way of thinking. So, I mean, scripture tells us, you know, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that takes practice. It doesn't just come to us. And I realized that my fault piece Like, I had the worst time forgiving myself for things. Like, I couldn't figure out how. Like, I was very forgiving towards other people, but I couldn't figure out how to forgive myself for stuff. I still blamed myself for the pain that I was in daily. I had these thoughts daily that this was my fault, that I was in this pain. So that's a lot of wrong thinking and a lot of lies that the enemy had told me for so long that I was in agreement with. And that was a huge piece for me that you talked about, Dr. Ben, was just about how when we have thoughts come into our mind that we need to stop and check, is it a lie or is it the truth? And then when we agree with those thoughts, we're either agreeing with Christ, agreeing with our Heavenly Father, or we're agreeing with the enemy. And when we agree with the enemy, we're now giving him access to us. And I realized how much daily I was agreeing with the enemy so many times. And I was stuck in that thinking. And I kept trying to figure out how to get out of this thinking that I had that was wrong. And it was rough. It was so good. Like, I paused school for a while. I paused everything. And I was like, this is important. I have to deal with this right now. And, you know, and figure out. And I just took time off of other things to just be in prayer and to just be in the Word and to just be trying to reconcile these things and to, you know, allow myself to be transformed, to for the Lord to work in me and to stop getting in the way. And that's what I realized, that I felt like I was getting in the way of the Lord because I was stuck in this mindset that I wasn't allowing myself to be free, because God offers freedom. He offers complete freedom. And I was hanging on to all of those things from my past and from the trauma and all the, and the tick disease and all of it. I was hanging on to all of it. And I remember being on my knees, crying out to the Lord again. And I'd been working on this piece, and I was really working on the trying to figure out, like, who did you create me to be, God? You know, show me, tell me. And I remember, Dr. Ben, that you were so gracious with me, because I remember talking to you and saying, you know, how do I figure this out? You know, I'm really trying. And you kept just encouraging me that, you know, God is gentle and gracious, and he will lovingly show you the answers to your questions. And he did. He did tremendously. I remember being on my knees just in prayer to him, and he showed up in a big way and just spoke to me and hugged me and, you know, just I love you, daughter. And I was like, whoa, you know, and it blew my mind away. And so then this thinking, this mindset's changing. God showed me who he created me to be. And it was amazing and beautiful. And I know exactly who I am now. And I remember talking to you as I felt like that was the piece, the puzzle piece that I needed, is to figure out who he created me to be. And then I knew that healing was going to come. And I know at the same time, my father-in-law had started listening to this preacher online that was really radical in my mindset. And he asked me to listen to him a little bit. And I listened, and my spirit just was like, whoa, what he is saying is so much truth. And then when I talked to you, the things that you were saying, I was like, wait, you must be listening to the same preacher, because you guys are saying the exact same thing. And I asked you about it, and you went, nope, but we're listening to the same Holy Spirit. And I thought, that's what it is. So this Pastor Dan Moeller, I was listening to him as well, and I still do. I'm so thankful for him. But he was speaking the exact same stuff that you were talking to me about, is, you know, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that it's a practice for us to do that, to call out the lies and to stay rooted in the truth, and to walk in confidence and authority in who Christ created you to be. That was a big piece that I didn't understand then. And now I do. And now I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. We're walking in authority and in the confidence that I know. And so I started walking in that confidence that God told me he's healing me. He is going to heal me completely. And I am just looking forward to when that completely happens. And I remember we were also doing ozone shots for my pelvis. And I asked you, I was like, when do I know that he's done it? You know, because I kept thinking, I want to eat. I want to eat. Like, I know the Lord's going to heal me completely. And you told me, just listen to the Lord. You know, don't do it until he tells you to do it, to step out of that. And that's what I did. I October 1st, which the first severe anaphylaxis reaction that I had, I ended up in the ER, was October 1st of 2016. And October 1st of 2022, I changed my way of thinking and I changed my way of speaking. I guess I forgot to mention that point. So I no longer ever said I had alpha-gal. I changed, because you talk so much about how powerful our words are, and scripture talks so much about how powerful our words are. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And when you talk science ways, we talked about, you know, how our body, how water holds memory, and our body is made so much of water and how much memory it is storing. And that resonated with me because I knew that I was holding on to all these memories from my past. And I changed my completely way of talking. I no longer said I had alpha gal. I would just say, I can't eat that for now, but I'm looking forward to being able to eat that later. Mm-hmm. And I would start, yes, and changing, you know, everything that I would be talking about, I would say, well, when the Lord heals me from this, or I would say, well, you know, the Lord is doing a work in me, the Lord is healing me, and eventually, and so I just completely changed the way I was speaking about it, and everybody noticed, and just was like, okay, all right, this is a positive mindset, you know. And October 1st, 2022, I was going back and forth in my mind, like, I wanted to eat this meal so bad with my family. And I kept saying, Lord, you haven't told me yes yet. You haven't told me yes yet. I'm waiting for you to tell me to do it. And then I'm doing it. I'm stepping out on faith and I'm doing it. And I was like, man. And I spoke out loud. I said, I really wanted to eat this meal with you guys. And my husband looked at me and I saw the look on his face and he was so serious. And he looked at me. He said, then sit down and eat it. And I just, like, the way he spoke to me was not like him. And I was like, yes, I am. And I sat down and I ate that meal and not a thing happened to me.
And it was full of mammal protein.
Full of mammal protein.
Hallelujah. Full of it. Thank you, Father.
Full of it. Yes. And I was just shouting. And I remember putting my hands up in the air like, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm eating this meal and it is nutritious for my body. And it is, my body is healed and I no longer have alpha gal. And I talked to my husband about that later. I'm like, that was the moment I needed. And I didn't even realize for 4 days, I didn't realize that that had been on October 1st. Till I was relaying it to somebody else. And I went, oh, praise the Lord. It was 6 years to the day that I was healed.
But Dawn,
to the day.
That's an amazing story. We might have to do part three. Because <there's, laughs> I know there's more you have in you to say than. Oh, it's just amazing. And thank you. Glory be to God for his word that's truth and that is healing. And Proverbs 4:20 through 23 came to mind. I'm going to read it real quick. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. In the Greek, that the translation on healing, it's medicine to all their flesh. And that's what you were doing. I mean, you were putting his word, you were being attentive, inclining your ear, not letting it escape your sight, keeping it within your heart, watching your words, you were renewing your mind. You were, I mean, what an amazing testimony that you
took. Transformation.
Yes, but you did it. I mean, you did it. And I don't want a listener out there to think, you know, if guilt, condemnation, or I'm not good enough, or any of that thoughts coming to any listener right now, you know, that's the enemy, number one. And don't let that thought take a hold. The enemy is sneaky. He's a liar and a deceiver, and he will twist things. So, but my encouragement to all the listeners is get in the Word and pray. God wants you well. Guaranteed he wants you well. It is not his intent for anyone to be sick. He wants you well, full. I mean, spirit, soul, body, all of you, fully, completely well. So just seek him, pray, and start talking to him. And talk to him like you talk to your spouse, you know, talk to anybody. He's there. Reach out, seek, knock, and you will find. But don't, we're out of time. But I'll give you the last word, and then we really will maybe have to have part three. But yeah, thank
that's
you.
A lot.
Thank you for your story.
Well, thank
and your
you.
Time. But yeah, you
thanks
go ahead.
Thanks for letting me share. Well, just to encourage the listeners that, you know, God wants you to be free from all those things. The enemy wants you bogged down. He wants you chained to your past and chained to your wrong way of thinking. But Jesus said we have freedom in him. And when you are able to finally walk fully in that freedom, I'll tell you what, there is nothing like it. Praise the Lord. It is amazing. You walk in Christ. And I'm looking forward every day, every moment to what new things he has in store.
Amen, sister. Well, thank you. Thank you. And you're right. Jesus came to set the captives free. And it's done. It's already done. We need to receive it. So what an amazing story. Thank you, Madon. I'll be in touch with you because I'm sure there's a lot more we could keep talking about. As far as identity goes, maybe we could do a Nicole, Angie, me and you, maybe all four of us talk about this some more.
That'd
but
be amazing.
So we'll get that on the calendar. All right, everybody, we got to run. We're out of time. We're past time. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You've been listening to You're the Cure. Madon Wingo is our guest today. This will be archived on our website, veritasmedical.com, under the resource tab, under the podcast page. Y'all share it far and wide for the glory of God. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.